we're privileged to worship. We anticipate that moment when we can gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We congregate, we assemble, and that is not optional. We gather, we share our faith, we offer up praise, and this all demonstrates the oneness of the body of Christ. In worship, we celebrate what God has done in our lives. Worship is more than just attitude. It is also action. Hearts are eager to offer gratitude. Worship is not a funeral dirge for one who died, but a living demonstration of one who lives. We commemorate, we remember, as we have just done in the Lord's Supper. We remember the sacrifice of our Lord. Our hearts turn backward as we think about the cross and our redemption through Christ. We communicate with God. We praise. And that gratitude is expressed by prayer, but it's also expressed in song. And we listen. We listen to what God communicates to us through His holy word. And then in all of this, we contemplate as a spirit of wonder and awe fills our hearts. We stand amazed in the divine presence. We ponder, we meditate, our spirits are probed. We're so grateful for the opportunity to be here together this morning. I want to mention before I get to the message today, our summer series. I want you to be thinking about that and doing what you can to tell others about our summer series. It is an octogenarian meeting. I mean by that, those who will be speaking, nine, have about 585 years of preaching experience. They're going to be with us this summer, beginning on June the 17th, going through August the 12th. So keep that in mind. We'll be saying more and more about it as the days come to us. Today is Mother's Day. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to preach in a gospel meeting at Grafton, West Virginia, a rather small town. But that's the town where the lady lived who petitioned the president of our country to designate a time to give special honor to our mothers. Thought that was very appropriate for her. Apparently, she had a deep love for her mother. We gather here today, and it's a sad day for many of us because our mothers are not physically with us, and yet their influence is with us. Their memories are still with us. And we thank God so often for the profound influence they had upon our lives. I think of my own mom. My dad died very young, 51 years of age. Mom lived to be almost 100. And so she was with us a long time. And her influence was powerful in my life as it was in the life of my family. But we think of mothers today. We think of our own mothers. We think of our daughters. We think of the mothers of our grandchildren. And indeed, they are fond and wonderful memories. I want to talk a little while this morning about the wonder of womanhood. God made woman in the very beginning. We read that in the early chapters of Genesis. Women have contributed so much to society, to our happiness, and to our well-being. The passage that was read to you this morning, I want you to look at it carefully with me, because there are some verses here that really speak of the wonder of womanhood. It begins this way. As for you, speak the things which become sound doctrine, or as is fitting to sound doctrine. You know, normally when we think of sound doctrine, we think of that which we believe. And that is a vital part of sound doctrine. It's important that we believe the right things. But in this context, in this entire paragraph, The emphasis is not necessarily on what we believe, but how we behave, the conduct of our lives. Becoming sound doctrine. That's an interesting phrase. Have you ever heard somebody say, or maybe you have had somebody say it to you, that dress that you are wearing, that particular color, is becoming to you? What does that mean? Well, it means that it beautifies you. It beautifies your personality. It goes well with you. Down at verse 10, he says, showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God. There's another interesting word. To become or to adorn the doctrine of Christ. What's the idea here? The word here, adorn, is the word from which our word cosmetics comes. Cosmetics. He's saying, here is the way to make the Word of God beautiful. How do we make the Word of God beautiful? By the life we live. That is a life in conformity to the will of God. That which is becoming. The idea here is not physical, but the lifestyle that beautifies the Word of God and brings beauty and glory to your family. I'll tell you, he speaks at verse 2 here of how the lifestyle of aged men adorn the doctrine of Christ. When they're sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. I think about what has happened in our country to our families. It is a national disgrace. It is a tragedy. The ship of matrimony is at sea without a compass on a dark and stormy night. Families, as God intended, are fast receding over the horizon. And it's not that people are not saying things. In fact, there are several things being said. There are seminars, there are conferences, there are encounters, counselors, books, magazines. But we are not learning, apparently, because we're not going back to the Word of God. It is that simple. The Word of God is the best manual ever written about the family. God designed the family, and the Word of God must direct it. But we look around today and what has happened. Satan has aimed the artillery of hell against the family. Look what's happening. Immorality, adultery, abortion, homosexuality, women's liberation, juvenile delinquency, crime, rebellion. All of that is born in the devious mind of Satan himself. All of these things are hurled at the family, seeking to sink the ship of holy matrimony. But God has a plan, and women play such a vital role in the survival of the home and the nation. Thus, the wonders of womanhood. Now, God says three things in this text that I want to emphasize today about the Christian woman. First, the legacy she is to lead. Then, the love she is to learn. And third, the life she is to live. Let's look at each of those three ideas in our time this morning. The legacy she is to lead. What is it? Look at verse 3. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they teach the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. There's a lot that's said in that verse. Older women have a great ministry and a great opportunity from God. And what is it? To teach the younger women. That's the legacy that she is to lead. God's plan is for older women to teach the younger women. Mothers and grandmothers are to teach what God has said. Teach the younger women. Now, older women, now, I know that many of you perhaps don't think that you qualify, but whenever you do, God says you're to be reverent in behavior. That is, that aura or fragrance of holiness. That obviously is based upon a sentiment that we have in the Old Testament. Back in the Old Testament, when the priest went into the most holy place, when he would come out, the sweet smell of that incense would be upon his garments, and the people could know that he had been in the presence of God, that he had been in the most holy place. Now that's the idea here, that older women are to become holiness. Have you known older godly women that have that aura? Oh yes, I have and I do. There are many right here this morning, that have that fragrance, that aura of holiness in their lives, that spiritual fragrance. The beauty of Jesus just radiates from their lives. Note what Paul said to Titus: not slanderers, not malicious gossips. You know, gossip is a disease that gets worse with age. If you're young and you have a problem with gossip, if you don't do something about it quickly, then it's just going to get worse with age. One woman said, "I never say anything about another unless it is good. And boy, is this good. Not a slanderer, not a slanderer. Not given to much wine," notice. The idea is no addiction of any kind. Don't allow anything to enslave you. But a major emphasis right here in this passage is that older women are to teach the younger women. Now think about this question. Who is teaching young women today? Who's doing the teaching? Is it the talk show hosts like Oprah and others? Is it the university? Is it the magazines? Who's teaching the young women to be homemakers? I know this, some are teaching them not to be. Where and from whom are they going to learn this? Are they going to get it from the soaps? Let me say this. There is no greater ministry for an older woman than to find some young wife or young woman whom you can help and encourage and admonish. That is so very, very important. That's the legacy that she is to lead. Young women, let me tell you this. You'll never find a better, more prepared, more experienced counselor than an older, godly Christian woman. And grandmothers. Young mothers, you'll never find a greater mentor or a wise helper than a mother who has weathered the storms. She's lived through it. She's experienced the difficulties, the good times and the bad times. You'll never learn more than from a woman who has been there. Mothers, teach your daughters. Teach them to cook. Teach them about life. Teach them to love your example. Teach them to love by your example. One woman said to her new husband, "I've just learned to cook." She said, "I don't know much about it, but I already know how to make meatloaf and banana pudding." And he said, "Which one is this?" The legacy she is to lead. Let the older women teach the younger women. They're not getting it in the university. They're not getting it in the magazines. We had better find out how we can recapture our generation and teach young women the primacy of the family, of homemaking. Now here's the second thing in this text. The love she is to learn. What are the older women to teach, and what are the younger women to learn? They're to teach them to do two things here. Number one, love your husband and love your children. Young women need to be taught how to love their children. Why? Well, a lot of people might think that loving your children is automatic. But I think of all the precious little children right here in our great country who are not being taught who are not getting the attention that they need to receive, who are neglected, so many children. And I have an idea that so many of the teachers who are here today in our public schools would say amen to that. Young women need to be taught how to love their children. We've got thousands every year who put their children to death in their own womb. Dear friend, the safest place there ought to be is a mother's womb. But it has become the most dangerous place to be in our society. Girls need to be taught that is wrong, that life is precious. Who is teaching the young women to love their children before they are born as well as after they are born? You know, friends, that is so very important. God places premium importance upon a soul. And how do you love a child? First, you tell them. You can't tell them too much that you love them. Then you teach them. You touch them. That tender touch. So many little children grow up ignored. They never receive that caress, that eye-to-eye contact, that tender touch. Children are not a burden, they are a blessing. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is their reward. You know, the women of the Bible who could not have children were brokenhearted. There are those today who want children but cannot have them. Our hearts go out to them. But then there are others who can have them but don't want them. Pray that God will give you a love for children. Look at some of the examples. Sarah in the Old Testament was barren until she was 90, but God kept his promise and gave her Isaac. Rachel cried out, "Oh God, give me children, or I die." God heard her prayer, and her son Joseph delivered a nation. Ruth was barren, but she prayed to God, and God gave her Obed, the grandfather of David, whose line would bring the Savior to the world. Elizabeth prayed, and God gave her John the Immerser. Hannah prayed and wept, and God gave her Samuel, the great prophet of Israel. I say all this to say that all of these great people came in answer to prayer. You know, today we pray, and aptly so, we pray, "Oh God, give us a cure for cancer." Wouldn't that be a blessing? We pray that one of these days, and that it would be soon, that God would do that. Or help us with this problem or with that problem. You know, maybe you're thinking, "Well, preacher, you are talking, but you are not a mama. You never gave birth to a child." Well, I can say that I did sit in a waiting room. One man was in a waiting room. The nurse came out and said, "Well, sir, I have an announcement for you. You are the father of a beautiful little girl." He said, "Oh, that is wonderful. I'm grateful. She'll never have to go through what I have gone through." Well, God said children are a blessing, our heritage, our reward from the Lord. I know there are problems in rearing children, but the blessings far outweigh all of the problems. Now, older women, no, mothers and grandmothers, are to teach the younger women to love their children, but also to love their husbands. Many folks think that's just automatic. It just happens. But this verse says that love is to be taught. You ever thought about love being taught? So one can learn to love their husband. Now, you're not going to get that from the TV shows. Not the kind of love that the Bible talks about. Where are young women going to learn to love? From their moms, from their grandmothers. By word and by deed. As you see her commitment to her husband when things are difficult, as you see her standing by her man, doing him good, supporting him, caring for him, encouraging him all the days of his life. We've talked about the legacy she is to lead, the love she is to learn. Now look in the text at the life she is to live. Here's the lifestyle: discreet. What does that mean? It means to be sensible, using good judgment. A week or so ago in our study of Proverbs at our 1 o'clock Wednesday class, we were discussing the death of common sense. Somebody has recently written a book entitled The Death of Common Sense. We need a lot of common sense in our nation. We need a lot of common sense on the part of those who go to Washington. We need common sense in life. Discreet is the word here. Chaste. That means pure, genuine. Homemakers. That is, keepers of the family. Not necessarily housekeeping, but homemaking. That's entirely a different thing. Good. That's kind-hearted. She's the heart of the home. Obedient to her husband. And Christian husbands exercise their headship in the family with real love and dedication, not a kind of dictatorship. And for what reason? This is interesting. That the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, these characteristics beautify and adorn the word of God. They say that the Word of God works in life. So here's a list of lifestyle qualities in a woman would make many in our culture today cringe, don't you think? But this is what God says. And what God says is true. What God says is right. And who is to teach this lifestyle course? It was not given to the university as a responsibility. It was not given to culture. It's not the responsibility of Washington, nor of government, nor even the responsibility of public schools. But the older women are to teach the younger women. And I really do believe that so many problems in today's society would be solved if we would just simply get back to God's plan for the family. The wonder of womanhood. You know, the Bible teaches us to honor our parents. From Mount Sinai, the commandment was thundered, honor your father and mother. The New Testament teaches, tribute to whom tribute is due, honor to whom honor is due. And so today, we focus upon our mothers. And God wants us to do that. It is a right thing to do. The woman that fears the Lord, she will be praised. Her husband will praise her. Her children will praise her. The community will praise her. Thank God for all of the women who have blessed our lives. The wonder of womanhood. They've blessed our lives. Their influence continues to be real in our own lives. A vital part of building the kingdom of God on this earth has been played by the women in our lives. Thank God. For you. Maybe this morning there is present in this number one who has not obeyed the gospel. If you have a Christian mom, the greatest delight in her life will be the day that she hears you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession of your faith, you are immersed into Christ. To see you become a Christian, that's what she's lived for. That's what she's worked for. That has been the sum of her influence in your life to see you become a child of God. And if you've wandered away from the Lord, mothers who are Christians, live for the day that you'll come back home again. Can we help you this morning as we stand to sing this song?